Take your Bibles and stand with me, and we're going to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Once you get your place there, go ahead and stand if you're able. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to read starting in verse number 21. And we started this way back when, and we hit it again last week, and hopefully we're going to finish it up tonight. Ephesians 5, 22. Ephesians 5, 22. And we'll read several verses here, then get down to Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22, dealing with the subject, ordinary families overcoming extraordinary obstacles. Anybody remember what I said that what do I believe is that number one struggle that families have that they have to overcome? Anybody remember what that one word was, Terrell? Understanding. I think that is a key pivotal thing in Christian relationships is understanding. Amen. Ephesians 5 and verse 22. Let's read that one together. Is everybody there? Say amen. Amen. Any oh me's? All right. Ephesians 5, 22. Read that verse with me. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And then read verse number 25 with me. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. And we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Here we go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Father, please bless the next moments that we have together, Lord, as a church family, and help us, Lord. Many of these things we know, but it is the understanding and oftentimes gets us in trouble. So, Lord, work in us, work through us, and give us the comprehension, give us the understanding, Lord, and the knowledge that we'll need for your word. Holy Spirit, impart the wisdom to us that we need, and impart the wisdom to me as well. Lord, help us to be challenged once again from the word of God, and then to be changed into the image of Christ Jesus a little bit more tonight. And Lord, help us truly to leave here differently than we came in. Each time we face the word of God, Lord, help us to allow it to change us into the image of Christ. We thank you so much for loving us, and we'll thank you for what you've done in Brother Neil's life and in his hard work on his recovery, along with his wife. Give her what she'll need as well as she ministers to him. And Brother Chuck Brugler, as he's going through chemo, help him as well. Lord, guide tonight in our study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So again, looking at what we've been studying over the past few weeks, we talked about ordinary families overcoming extraordinary obstacles. Several men have preached on this topic and giving us an understanding of what, in their opinion, is that one extraordinary obstacle. There are many obstacles that face the family. Many, many obstacles. Pastor White talked about favoritism in regards, and also some other things going on in Joseph's life. Brother Hall brought out some good points as well, as Fred did. But the key thing that I find is understanding, that one extraordinary obstacle, understanding. And I said I believe it's a threefold issue, a threefold issue. And I mentioned to you that knowledge is not the same as understanding. Knowledge is the know-how. Understanding is the comprehension as to why I'm doing what I'm doing. Amen. Getting those things down. And I mentioned this. We have understanding in relation to predicaments and understanding in relation to people. And those two are different. People aren't predicaments. Predicaments aren't people. And by the way, to have understanding towards people, guess who you have to understand? Well, you got to understand yourself as well. Begins with a P. Got to understand people. And by the way, people are not alike. Although some people are similar, but everybody has a different DNA. Everybody has different things in their life, which means I have to have a certain set of understanding principles in my life to understand people. Amen. By the way, the longer you get married, The longer you are married, the more you should know about your spouse. Amen. The shorter you're married, the least you know about your spouse. That's just the way it goes. As your children grow older, you should understand more about your children. When they're young, you don't understand a whole lot about them other than that they're little sinners. Amen. That's about it. Praise God. So I said it's threefold. First, understanding what my role is in the family. Or what am I responsible for? By the way, God is not playing any games. He said, wives, submit, children, love. Fathers or husbands, love, children, obey. Is that confusing? No, that's straightforward, amen? Then second of all, in this threefold principle of understanding, I've got to understand how to operate in my role in the family. In other words, how do I do what God has asked me to do? As a husband, how do I love my wife? Amen. As a wife, how do I submit to my husband? As a child, how do I obey my parents? Amen. I've got to know what my role is. Then I've got to understand how to operate in it. By the way, operating in my role, does it depend on somebody else? No, it doesn't. You say, well, they're not doing their job. So what's that got to do with you? Amen. If God told me to love my wife, guess what? That has nothing to do with her not doing her job that God asked her to do. Amen. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. So understanding my role, what's in my responsibilities, amen, performing my role, what do I need to do in this role, amen. And by the way, I found this to be a key problem. In my years of counseling couples, this is normally the standing problem. I would do right if she would do right. Or I would do right if he would do right. Or the children say, we would do right if they would do right. Or the parents would say, we as parents would do right if the children would do right. And it does not depend on what somebody else does. Amen. Now, you may work in a factory where your job depends on the next guy putting his little cog on the wheel, and then you can't put yours on unless he puts his on. We're not talking about that. We're talking about relationships. You say, well, I can't put my cap on here because you didn't put any jelly in the jar. It ain't got nothing to do with this. We're talking about what God asked you to do. By the way, is God going to grade you in heaven based upon what you have done or what somebody else has done? Amen. What you have done. So the threefold issue of understanding is understanding my role in the family, first of all. Second of all, understanding how to operate in my role regardless of what someone else does. Then third, remembering that all of us are sinners and no one is perfect. Amen. By the way, there is something consistent about verse number 22, verse number 25, and 6:1, and this is the consistency. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as how? Unto the Lord. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives even how? As Christ also loved the church. So we're giving a comparison. The wife is submitting as if she was submitting to the Lord. The husband is loving as Christ loved the church. And then children down there, children, obey who? Your parents how? In the Lord. So in each area of submission, of love, and of obedience is as if you were doing this to the Lord and not the individual. That takes all the excuses away. Amen. All the excuses. Well, my parents aren't right. Take the excuse away as unto the Lord. Well, my husband's not worth submitting to. Take the husband away as unto the Lord. Well, my wife is not worth loving. Take the excuses away as Christ loved the church. By the way, what did Christ give for the church? His life. His life. So as Christ loved the church, so as unto the Lord, as Christ loved the church in the Lord. And so that is going to be the key in all of this. And so we look at this, understand our biblical role, submit to the Holy Spirit's power, and then operate in it and follow the grace of God, because none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not. By the way, there's no such thing as a perfect pastor. The only one was Jesus Christ. And he still had one devil as a congregational member, one loud mouth, two hot heads, and the rest of them didn't hardly do anything. So if Jesus had that crowd, hey, I'm just saying, praise God, have mercy on me. In our performance of our role, the great challenge that we will find is to understand, for whom am I performing? As a wife, am I performing for my husband? Because if I am, then it shouldn't be as unto the Lord, then it's as unto my husband. As a husband, am I performing for my wife? If I am, then it's not as Christ loved the church. If I'm a child, is it as unto my parents? If so, then it's not as unto the Lord, for this is right. And I think that is one character trait that we have got to really understand. I've got to take away the person and replace them with the person of Christ. And look at it as I'm submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm loving like Christ would love. I'm obeying as a child as unto the Lord. This is for him. And by the way, he'll never let you down. Spouses will let you down. Children will let you down. Parents will let you down. So am I performing for God or others? Amen. By the way, the others are just recipients of the blessing when you are doing right. Amen. And by the way, who's going to reward us when we get to heaven? Christ will. Who saved us? Who forgives us? Amen. So who are we doing it for? Christ. Our spouses are just recipients of the blessing. So we're going to finish this up tonight and just by looking at a couple things here. By the way, why do we stop at stop signs? It's the law. Do you love that stop sign? But still, you stop at the stop sign. Even when nobody's looking, you stop. Most of y'all do, at least. Most of you do. Some of you do the California roll and roll right on through that thing. Amen. But we obey a stop sign. And you know what we're demonstrating when we obey the stop sign? Submission and obedience. Obedience to the laws of the land and submission to the requirements that are there. And we don't even love the sign. I haven't seen anybody get out and kiss the stop sign lately. Take it out to dinner. But guess what? We will submit to the stop sign and then say, who is that man that I need to submit to him? We'll stop at the stop sign. Then we'll say, who is that God that I have to love my wife like Christ loved the church? We'll stop at the stop sign. Then we'll say, well, why do I need to obey my parents when you stop at a stop sign? And we don't love the stop sign. Neither do we submitting to the stop sign. But we know if we don't do it, what's going to happen? You're going to get a ticket. You're in danger. You're in jeopardy, as they would say. Amen. And so when you're looking at obedience and submission to our Lord, we should do it because we love our Lord. Amen. I don't love a stop sign. I don't love a yield sign. I don't love a red light. Matter of fact, I hate red lights. It should be all green lights. Amen. But guess what? When it comes down to it, we are stopping at a stop sign by obedience and submission. And guess what? That's what God asks too. Wow. Now, by the way, sometimes it takes a long time at a stop sign, doesn't it? Depending upon how much traffic is there. Amen. So understanding this, amen. So let's look at the wife real quick here, amen, because I believe wives' extraordinary obstacle is that they often fail to understand the biblical submission, what it is. Verse 22, look at it. Wives, submit yourselves. Now, the word submit there, wives, is this: willfully placing oneself under authority. I gave that definition to you last week. To subordinate. By the way, why would a lady want to marry someone that she didn't want to submit to? So there's the first problem. We marry someone that we don't want to submit to. If you didn't want to submit to him, why'd you marry him? I told y'all the story. We had a marriage over in Belgium one time, and the lady had to say to obey. And it took her several stammering moments to get over that. Pastor Bennett was giving the vows and to have and to hold, to obey, and she was like... You know, everybody's kind of chuckling out there. And man, she was stammering over that. She did not want to say to obey. And she's about to get the ring put on her finger. Why would you want to marry somebody? You don't want to obey them and submit to them. And it took her a long time. She finally got it out. Amen. I hope they're still married. Amen. But why would you want to marry somebody that you don't want to submit to? Now, my wife and I got saved. We knew nothing about a Christian relationship. Nothing at all. But we knew one thing, we were going to respect each other and have a mutual agreement, have some good communication, and work things out. But then the Bible told me that I was the head. And I thought, man, hey, boy, I turned into Heil Hitler, man. I got me a little black mustache, too.
Heil Hitler, walk that line, tow it, buddy. Hey, I'm the boss. Heil Hitler. I swear, I was Gestapo, man. Just waiting for some kids to rule and reign over. All I had was my wife. I couldn't rule and reign over her. And that's why God probably didn't give us no kids for 20 years. You know? He said, you little Hitler, I'm not giving you any kids, amen. You're not ready for them, amen. Hey, I found out that I was the head of the wife and I was supposed to love her. I had a warped sense of what love was. I didn't know what love was until I got saved and understood the sacrifice that's involved in love, amen. And then I thought, man, my wife's got to submit to me, and I don't know where I'm going. So guess where she's going? I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what to do. Amen. Got saved. And I thought, Lord, I'm supposed to lead her. Man, I don't know anything about the Bible. What am I supposed to do now? I started getting in the book. I started reading. I started going to my preacher and saying, hey, look, preacher, what's going on with this? What's going on? What am I supposed to do? He said, you're supposed to lead that wife you got. And she's supposed to submit to you. I said, we're in trouble. If she's supposed to submit to me, we're in trouble because I don't know where I'm going. He says, stick your nose in the book, keep reading, find out the will of God, you'll be fine. Amen. And guess what? We're still alive. We're still married. We didn't go down any dead end roads that we couldn't get out of. Amen. And so when it comes down to this, the wife is to willfully place herself under her husband's authority and to submit herself to him. It means to be obedient underneath or to put under or to arrange under voluntarily. Should the husband have to force her to obey? No, he shouldn't have to force her. Why? This is voluntary. This is by the way, I was in the United States Air Force. And guess what I swore an oath to when I came into the military? That I would obey all the commands given to me. So guess what? When a command was given, there was no struggle. If they said go, guess what? How far? They said jump, how high? Amen. There was no struggle. Why? I knew what I was getting involved with. They say go to war and get on the front lines. Guess what? I'm at war. I'm on the front line. I got all my chem gear. I'm ready to go. Why? That's what I joined for. Hey, when you get married as a lady, you're joining to say, I'm going to willfully submit myself under his authority. That's why you better make sure you got the right man. The wrong man is going to cause you mayhem, amen, and mischief and woe. I'm glad I picked up. Man, I didn't pick anything. God blessed me with a perfect woman. He did. He blessed me with a perfect woman, amen. She's submissive to me. She does all the things that I'm asking her to do. And when I see her on her knees, I know I'm in trouble. Now I walk by sometimes. She's over there. Lord, I'm trying to say, me, did I hear something about my husband? Did she say Greg? Now I'm walking on ice, cracked ice on top of that. Hey, honey, how you doing? You need anything? Everything okay? Hey, I don't want to get in trouble with God. She's not gonna come to me and try to beat me up. She's just going to say, I'll tell God on you. He can whoop you really good. And so when she's on her knees, I hope she's praying for the kids, amen. Don't pray on me because she get what she asks for, amen. So the wife has to be willing to arrange herself voluntarily under him. Give you an example of this. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 6. Let's go over there real quick. 1 Peter 3 and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6. So ladies, make sure you've got the right husband. And if he's not doing right, don't try to get him right. Pray for him. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 6. And this is Sarah dealing with Abraham. By the way, was Abraham right in everything he did? No. Did he have some open flaws that we could see? Yes. Did he tell his wife to do wrong by telling her to lie for them? Yes, he did. Did he have issues with Hagar? Yes. So he wasn't a perfect man. But notice 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6, dealing with the wives and her submission. Of course, verse number 1 says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to who? Your own husbands. Notice that. Not the husband next door. Not the husband down the street. Not somebody else's husband. Whose husband? Yours. Why? You married him. He's the one you're submissive to. Ladies, let me help you out. You're not submissive to any other man on this planet. other than your husband if you're not married. No, your dad if you ain't married. Amen. You are submissive to your husband. The Bible repeatedly says here in Colossians and Ephesians, your own, your own, your own. Why? If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Eve was led astray by a serpent. And she was supposed to be under the protection of her husband. And God put a mandate out and said, your desire is going to be to your husband and he shall rule over you. You're going to want his position, but he's going to have the authority over you. So every time it says your own husband, why? Ladies, you can be susceptible to going to someone else's leadership if it sounds good, if you're not careful. Why? Eve did the same thing. In hopes of trying to help your family or help your husband or help this cause, you can listen to someone else when that may not be the direction for your family. The husband is responsible for your family. And you can be led astray, so be careful on that. Notice this, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now notice verse number 6, talking about the wife all the way down here. Even as Sarah did what? Obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, or basically you're in charge, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and not afraid with any amazement. They give the example of Sarah and how she was obedient and submissive to Abraham, even though he wasn't right in everything he did. They're giving you that instruction and that encouragement there. And so the first thing that the wife has to do is understand her role. What is she responsible for? She's responsible for submitting to her husband. Now, how's she going to operate in this role? And by the way, ladies, how are you going to operate in this role? Big F. By faith. That if you do what God told you to do, he will do what he needs to do. By faith. If I'm submissive to my husband, I'm counting on God then to guide him, to lead him, to direct him, and to do what God needs to do through him for me. Why? Because it's by faith. I'm trusting God's word. Hey, when God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, what happened? You stepped out, you called, and what happened? He saved you. So if he says, wives, submit, you step out, you submit, and you trust God to do the rest. Hey, if he said, whosoever should call should be saved, I call, I got saved. If I'm to be submissive as unto the Lord, I'm trusting God then to direct me through my husband as I pray for him. It's nothing mystical. I just have to do it. The same way I obey the stop sign. I just have to do it. Amen. Like, well, he going to lead me astray. You better pray extra hard then. Well, I don't like the direction he's going. You better pray four times as hard then. He don't know what he's doing. You best to fast and pray. Amen. Hey, if you are afraid of the direction that he's going and you don't think he knows where he's going, you better pray extra hard for him. I didn't say bellyache. I didn't say moan. I didn't say have a pity party. I didn't say cry. You never listen to my direction. You never give me anything. Hey, a continual dropping in a rainy day, it says, is a nagging wife. Amen. You don't want that. But submit, it's by faith. And so we've got to take this by faith, that if I submit to God, wives, be submissive to your own husbands as unto the Lord, then God's job is to bless my marriage and my relationship. Keeping in mind the third part of that threefold thing I said, he ain't perfect. Amen. He's liable to make mistakes. Did Abraham make mistakes? Yes, he did. Hey, we're suffering one big mistake right now with Hagar. Ishmael, sorry, brother, I don't mean to bring you into this, amen, but the Arab nations came from Hagar. Amen. Through the birth of Ishmael, and all the nations came, and we're up to our ears in Islam right now because of that relationship that he listened to Sarah on and went with Hagar, amen. And so, brother, I know you was going to be here, so amen. Sorry. But So wives, extraordinary obstacle often is that we fail to understand biblical submission. It is to voluntarily place myself under his leadership, under his command, and then by faith, watch God work. My wife has submitted to me all these years we've been saved. I have not done everything right. I have not made all the best decisions. I have gotten us into trouble from time to time. And guess what? She ain't said, start picking it. We want a new leader. We want a new leader. We want a new leader. Down with dad, up with a new person. She doesn't pick it. She doesn't walk back and forth. Well, I'm going to oust you. You need to get overthrown. Hey, pray for the one that you have. By the way, the hope for America is not in the White House. Folks say, well, we can just get Trump out of there. Then who are you going to get in there that's any better? We're already being dummied down. It's not going to get any better. Well, it's the White House. It's not the White House. It's the church house. Amen. So when you go down here, the wife has to take this by faith. Husband, let's go back to Ephesians 6 as we hurry. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. So the wife just needs to submit and then trust God by faith, the same way she got saved by faith. Amen. And she's got to understand her role and then operate in that role. And remember that she's not perfect. Neither is he perfect. Ephesians chapter number 6. Now we go over to the man. Ephesians chapter 6. And notice verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives. How am I supposed to do this? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So that means that I've got to be willing to sacrifice my wife. This word love here is agape, which means to sacrifice for the highest moral good of another. To sacrifice for the highest moral good of another. To willfully sacrifice one's welfare for the good of another. To willfully limit what one does to satisfy another's needs. Did Jesus Christ go through a period of separation from the Father, if you would, when he died for our sins? Yes. Why hast thou forsaken me? He had to say why. He took upon him the burden of our sins. And so that's a sacrifice. So if I'm a husband, the extraordinary obstacle for me is to, first of all, understand what my role is. It is to love my wife. And then how do I operate in it? By the way, are you going to have days when you don't feel like you're in love? Yes. Tina Turner said, what's love got to do with it? Do it anyway. Well, I don't feel like it. And your point is, she didn't feel like cooking for you this morning. Well, she didn't feel like getting you out of bed this morning. She didn't feel like washing those clothes. She didn't feel like washing those dishes. She didn't feel like going to the store for you. She didn't feel like doing this and doing that. What if she said, I quit? Down with the husband. Down with the husband. He doesn't respect me. He doesn't love me. Hey, what if she went on strike? I know if my wife went on strike, it'd be rough around my house. There's been several days when she's been sick and ill and couldn't do nothing. I felt the brunt of how much she really does. And it's not easy. And the Bible is just saying, husbands, love, be willing to give up everything that you have for her. Amen. Be willing. Amen. Now, you may not have to, but you should be willing to make sacrifices for her. I try to make sacrifices for my wife any way I can. Now, by the way, the key ingredient in husbands loving your wives is this. Listen up and listen good. What does love mean to her? What is love to her? To me, love means a clean house. To my wife, it means that too, but she could not have a clean house as long as she got somebody to come by and rub her feet. Hey, I'm just saying, what does love mean to your wife? Because if you don't ask her, well, how can I show you my love? She's not going to be able to reciprocate what that means. So I've got to know, what does love mean to her? For me, I can go out and do all these things. My wife said, I didn't want the things. I just wanted you to sit next to me and rub my feet. That's love for me. I just want you to go out and, take the kids away so I can have some me time. That's love for me. I just wanted you to come over here and just sit with me and hold me and don't say anything. I just wanted to vent to you and not have you correct me, because I'm not a problem that needs to be corrected. I'm not a math problem that needs a solution for. Men, that's what we're guilty of. It's like a math problem. Oh, I got the solution for that. Did I ask for a solution? I just want you to listen. Sometimes we just need to listen and not try to correct and fix. And that's what we are prone to do. Let me find out. As soon as they open up their mouth, we go into gear. How can I fix that? Not right there. She's steady talking. Ain't heard a word she said. I can fix it like that. I can fix it like that. I can fix it like that. Okay, now I know how to fix it. And she's still talking. And so you don't even know what you're fixing. Come on now. You know I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
What am I saying? Oftentimes we want to fix something that's not broke. Wives aren't broke. But we want to fix them. We want to change them. Well, you need to be like this. And you need to. And husband, never compare your wife to somebody else, not even your mama. Because she's not your mama. Amen. You married her, not your mama. She may have qualities like your mother. Now, I tell my wife all the time, you have qualities like my mama. I'll say, uh-oh. I said, Carmen's getting to Mama Dawson now. And she'll come in that now. I done told you, boy. And she get to getting like that. Whoa, she got the Mama Dawson on her now. Whoa. The kids even say, oh, she got the Mama Dawson. Now, I didn't marry my mother, but I married someone that's very similar to my mother. And she has a lot of qualities of my mother. And I love it when she gets on my kids like my mother. Amen. Get them, honey. Get them like I got when I was a kid. Comb their hair. Doesn't work. The hair too short. Amen. Say, so pick up some and pop them like I used to get popped with. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? I've got to know what love is to my wife. I've got to know what that is. So when you look at this, husbands, love your wives. It is that sacrificial love for the highest moral good of another, to willfully sacrifice one. I've got to, in faith, know that if I love her and if I do the self-sacrificing acts that she desires me to do, God's going to bless me. Am I looking for my wife to bless me? No more than the wife is looking for you to bless her when she submits. She's looking for God to bless. We as husbands, we're not looking for the wife to bless us, but God to bless. Now, he might use the wife to bless you. You might come home and find some chocolate chip cookies or some brownies cooking. We went to the store yesterday, had some computer problems and got it fixed. And my wife said, honey, you want anything? No, I don't want anything. Kids got all this sweet stuff. And we get in the car. She said, I know something that you like. And she opened up a bag and had two oatmeal raisin cookies in there. Mouth got a little watery. I said, well, I'll just take a little pinch of it, but I really don't want these. And ate that one piece. And I thought, she knows how to get me. She knows. And there was two cookies. And I was going to eat that second one. Honey, did you want some of these cookies? Kids knew they weren't going to get none anyway. Did you want some of these? No, those are for you, honey. Hey, when you love, hey, you get some benefits back. Get some benefits. Hey, I'm like, man, that's good, man. I could have stood about five more of those, amen. The kids never saw them, amen. They was in the bag, tucked away between me and my wife. I was in the front seat eating them by myself. Faith is always watching. Daddy, what you eating up there? None of your business. It's a Nunya cookie. None of your business. Hey, what am I saying? We love them the way Christ loved the church, we would be willing to do anything for Jesus Christ. Why? He saved us. He forgives us. He's there when we need him. He's always there. That's the way I've got to be for my wife. Got to be there all the time. All the time. Well, by the way, wives don't take a day off. Those kids are forevermore needing something. This is why she can take a day off. Her kid's gone. But when the kids are in the house, wives don't take a day off. There's always another meal to prepare. There's always another dish to wash. There's another floor to mop. There's a toilet to clean. There's always, always, always. Unless you go on vacation, have the maids do it. That's why some wives like to go on vacation. Get a maid to do that stuff. Amen. I get to the hotel. I make the kids make up the bed. Why we got to make the bed? We got maids to do that. Keep you in practice. You'll be all right. Make it when you get home. Hey, a last one here. We'll go through this really quick. So wives have to submit. And what does that mean? That means that she's submitting as if it was the Lord Jesus Christ and not her husband, because he is the one, and she does it by faith. Husbands, what are we to do? We're to love as Christ loved the church. And it's not to get something out of our wives. It is to please God and to be like God to her in the marriage relationship as Christ is to the church. And then children. And children, your extraordinary obstacle is to fail to understand biblical obedience. Amen. What is it? It got 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And what is that about? Obedience is to listen attentively to carry out instructions. To listen attentively to carry out instructions. And by the way, with a good attitude. Because you can carry it out with a bad attitude. You can carry it out like you're doing your parents a favor. And who should it be that I'm doing this for, children? The Lord. Hey, if Jesus was to show up and actually take out the garbage, I know y'all would be like, oh, yes, Jesus, here's the garbage. Parents actually do something. Why me? Why not them? Because I asked you. You didn't put it in the right place. You didn't put the top back on it. They didn't put the top back on it. And here we go all over again. Children, obey in the Lord, for this is right. If Jesus was to show up, would you treat him the same way? Then what we're looking at here is the wives are doing it as to the Lord Jesus Christ. The husbands are doing it as Christ loved the church. Children are obeying in the Lord. So everything, parents are wiped out, husbands wiped out, and wife is wiped out. And I'm doing everything for the Lord in this relationship. And I think we fail to understand that. And that's why I said I think the biggest problem, the obstacle, is understanding our role and then operating in it, whether or not someone is there or not. Obedience, to listen attentively, to carry out instructions with the right attitude, right away with the right response. So there's three R's, right attitude, right away, right response. Write those down if you have to. Right attitude, that's the key. My son, he likes that Diary of the Wimpy Kid, and Roderick's rules say, if you put it off and don't do a good job, then your parents have to do it themselves because they are tired of asking you to do it over and over again. My mother did not have that problem. I would be there till midnight doing it over and again, until I got it right. And she would camp out and wait too. Amen. Amen. You got it right yet? Man, she ain't going to give up. She's got stamina. Man, I was trying to get out of the thing, so I just threw it together, hoping that she said, I'll do it for you. Yeah, she said, no. Do it again. How did I show you? No, that's not how I showed you. Do it the way I showed you. And guess what? When I went to the military, I didn't have any problems obeying orders. Why? My mother trained me up right. You got some kids now, you ask them a question, they slop it together. Well, what if I did that for your dinner and just slopped it on the plate and gave it to you? Well, you couldn't do that. Oh, I couldn't. Hey. What am I saying? Amen. Right attitude, right away with the right actions. No slopping, no murmuring, no complaining, no why me? Why not you is what you should ask. Amen. Why not you? And that's what we get oftentimes from this generation of young people. And again, children, this is by faith. I've got to do this by faith. What is the faith part? Notice, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is what? It's right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with what? Promise. What's part of the promise? That it may be well with thee. Amen. God says, do it by faith, and it's going to be well with you. And thou mayest live long on the earth. Of course, we know that relates back to the biblical times in the Old Testament. But guess what? That's still a New Testament promise. Amen. That carries over. Amen. My mother just paraphrased and said, disobedient child will not live his days out. And she would look at herself as judge and jury and executioner. She said, I bought you in, I'll take you out. And I believe she would, too. I could see it in her eyes, like, buddy. Man, one time she jacked me up. I was taller than her, too. I was 15. And she jacked me up against the wall. Boy, she had to raise me up. And she picked me up off the floor. I thought, how in the world is she picking me up off the floor? I weigh 155 pounds. And she picked me up. Boy, I'm thinking. Got down from that. Did she just do what I think she did? She just jacked me up. She jacked me up.
That's a good mother.
I thought, I am not going to tell anybody about this. What'd you do over the weekend, Greg? I got jacked up by a mother. Nobody knew about that jacking up, amen. But guess what? Nobody else knew about it because it never happened again. She had to jack me up no more. She said, you think you 15? You think you big boy? She said, man, and I can't repeat what she said, but I tell you what, she didn't have to say it no more. She had to say it no more. She never jacked me up since that point, since that day. 15 years old, had me off the ground. I had to look down to make sure I wasn't dreaming. And Pastor White knows my mother's shorter than I am. Hey, guess what? Children, obey your parents, Lord. She said, look, you will not live your days on this earth if you don't get right. You won't get past 600 Second Avenue. Amen. That was our address. Amen. So what am I saying here? Children, listen attentively, carry out your instructions with the right attitude, right away, right response. Amen. It means to hear under as a subordinate and to respond in action
to a charge. Why am I going to do this? By faith. How am I going to do this? In the Lord. What is it? It's right. It's right. So, folks, one of the things that I see as that obstacle is understanding my role, first of all, in the family. What am I supposed to do? Then number two, when I understand what I'm supposed to do, I've got to make sure that I'm operating in my role and not trying to take someone else's role. By the way, boys shouldn't act like girls and girls shouldn't act like boys. Let me throw that in there.
Amen.
Amen. That's why we're warped now. A boy should act like boys and girls should act like girls. My mother said, boy, you keep acting like a sissy, I'm going to beat you. I had three sisters. And so when they got in trouble, guess what they did? They cried to get out of it. So when I got in trouble, guess what I tried? Cry. Yeah, you sissy, I told y'all, she threw me out the boys club, toughened me up. They beat me good down there. Got them tears out of me, amen. God didn't turn to a hardened criminal, amen. Boys club was rough back in the days. I said, take me to the YMCA. Why the boys club? You know, all the rich people go to YMCA. All the thugs go to the boys club. That's the point, amen. Toughen you up, get that sissiness out of you, amen. So we've got to make sure that we're doing our role and then operating in our role, then understanding, lastly, making sure we are not perfect. All have sinned to come short of glory. We're all sinners, saved by grace. So there is no, well, you know, you're not doing this perfectly. There is no perfectly. We do the best that we can to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we get forgiveness and we gain forgiveness. We give it and we get it. Amen. There should be no home where forgiveness is not given. Pastor White did a beautiful job talking about that a couple weeks ago. Talking about forgiveness. We have got to be forgivers. Got to be forgivers. Husbands have to forgive wives. Wives got to forgive husbands. Parents have to forgive children. Children have to forgive, and don't throw it back up in their face. Well, you remember what you did last time. Well, this is this time. This is this time. Look, can we deal with this time? Amen. Hey, my mother never brought up jacking up again. After she jacked me up, she never, remember how I jacked you up last time? I'll jack you up again. She never said that. She never threw it back in my face again. I thought about it quite often. Amen. But she never threw that back up in my face. I'll jack you up again, boy. Now, she'd tell me she'd wear me out in a heartbeat. Hey, what am I saying? If we can understand this obstacle and get over this obstacle with the Lord Jesus Christ's help, our family relationships would get stronger. They Amen. Would. They Amen. Would. If the wife is willingly submitting to the husband, and when she's afraid of his going astray, pray for him. The husband is loving his wife, and he's making sure that he's sacrificing whatever it takes to make her happy in the will of God. And the children are obeying their parents in the Lord, for this is right, and not complaining and whining and moping. The family unit would be a beautiful place and a beautiful setting to grow up in. It really would be. But we have to struggle with the flesh. And by the way, just because someone else isn't fulfilling their role doesn't mean you stop yours. You continue serving in your role. Why? You're serving Christ and not the person. You're serving Christ. Amen. Father, help us as we try to apply these truths to our lives. Lord, I do pray that as we look at the extraordinary obstacle that is before us, Lord, you might bless. Give us the understanding that we need to have in our role, then operating in our role, independent of what someone else does. Then, Lord, at the end of the day, remember, we're all sinners. We all need to have forgiveness. We all need to give forgiveness. No one's perfect, but Lord, we ought to work on these relationships and trust the blood of Jesus Christ, who has cleansed us of all sin, to work in a marvelous way. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you for saved husbands and saved wives and saved children. Lord, if there is one tonight that is not saved, I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl, that they would understand, first of all, they are a sinner and they need to be saved, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, once we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit's power to obey these verses by faith. The same way we got saved is the same way we serve in our role in the family. Strengthen our family relationships. Strengthen the family unit, not just in this church, but in all of God's churches. And Lord, help us to walk a way that's pleasing in your eyes, in your sight. And we'll thank you and love you for what you've given us in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, folks, we're going to go right into our business meeting. So, brother, if you can hand those out real quick. And then, Pastor, we'll get you to come up and give the announcements here at the end.
Brother Shmuel, if you need to leave, you can leave. You don't have to stay for this. It's going to be our business meeting, but you're more than welcome to stay if you want to. And, of course, you know.